Have you ever watched your toddler melt down in a grocery store and felt your chest tighten, your face flush, your mind race with what everyone must be thinking? That moment, right there, is where the real work of parenting begins. Not in the discipline strategy you choose or the consequence you deliver, but in recognizing that your child's tantrum has just revealed something profound about you. This is the revolutionary premise that has transformed millions of families. Parenting isn't about molding children into who we want them to be, it's about allowing them to reveal who we need to become. Most of us approach parenting as a top-down enterprise. We're bigger, older, wiser. Surely that means we're supposed to shape these small humans into successful adults. But what if we've had it backwards all along? What if children don't come to us as blank slates waiting for our wisdom, but as whole beings with their own signature essence, arriving specifically to crack open our false selves and invite us toward authenticity? Think about the last time your child's behavior triggered an outsized reaction in you. Maybe your daughter refused to practice piano after you've invested thousands in lessons. Maybe your son chose art over athletics, disappointing dreams you didn't even realize you were carrying. That surge of emotion, the frustration, the shame, the fear, doesn't originate with your child's choices. It comes from unresolved wounds in your own past. Children reflect our unconscious patterns with uncomfortable precision. When your teenager's eye roll triggers rage, that's not about disrespect. It's about the time your own parent dismissed your feelings. Your child didn't create that wound. They're pressing on it, offering you a chance to finally address it. Jessica's daughter, Anya, became rebellious during middle school, staying out past curfew and lying about her whereabouts. Jessica responded with tighter rules and harsher punishments, creating an escalating conflict cycle. Only when Jessica examined her own childhood, raised by a controlling mother who never allowed autonomy, did she recognize the pattern. Anya was embodying the rebellion Jessica had suppressed for decades. Instead of asking, "How do I fix my child?" we learn to ask, "What is my child's behavior revealing about me?" We tell ourselves we love our children unconditionally, but our daily interactions often tell a different story. Every time we light up over good grades but grow distant when they struggle, we teach them that love must be earned through performance. Both excessive approval and harsh criticism create the same problem. They make children dependent on external validation. The child praised constantly for being smart learns to derive worth from achievement, developing anxiety about maintaining that identity. The child criticized for not measuring up internalizes shame, believing their essential self is flawed. True acceptance isn't passive. It's an intensely active practice of seeing and celebrating who your child actually is, not who you imagined they'd be. Most parents don't realize how much of their parenting flows from ego rather than love. We claim ownership of our children's achievements, feeling pride when they excel, as if their success proves our worth. We feel shame when they struggle, as if their difficulties reflect our inadequacy. This isn't love. It's narcissism disguised as concern. Consider the mother who spent $30,000 on her son's bar mitzvah, obsessing over every detail. When the caterer arrived late and the photographer missed key moments, she became inconsolable, not because her son was disappointed, but because the event was about validating her image as an exceptional parent. Or the parents devastated when their gifted son was rejected from every Ivy League school. They had built their identity around raising a future Harvard graduate. His rejection felt like their failure. Yet their son was relieved. He'd never wanted that pressure and was excited about the state university where he'd been accepted with a scholarship. The parents' suffering had nothing to do with his well-being and everything to do with their attachment to a specific outcome. When we parent from ego, we can't tolerate our children's ordinariness. We need them to be exceptional because it makes us feel exceptional. This desperate need for specialness robs children of the freedom to simply be, to have lazy afternoons, to pursue interests without pressure, to exist without constantly performing. Your child spills milk for the third time. Your teenager misses curfew again. Consciousness means creating a gap between stimulus and response, a pause where you observe your rising emotion without immediately acting on it. This doesn't mean suppressing feelings. It means witnessing them. I notice I'm feeling rage. My chest is tight. I'm having the thought that my child is deliberately defying me. When you observe your reaction rather than being consumed by it, you create space for a conscious response. Children naturally feel emotions fully, then let them pass. Watch a toddler cry over a broken cookie, then moments later laugh at a butterfly. Adults fear uncomfortable emotions, so we bury, deny, or displace them onto others, especially our children. When your child comes home crying about a conflict with a friend, your instinct might be to call the other parent or fix the problem. But this rescuing impulse often stems from your own discomfort with their pain. What they actually need is for you to sit with them in their sadness, teaching them that difficult feelings can be tolerated and will pass. This practice transforms discipline entirely. Instead of punishing mistakes, process them together once emotions settle. Create a family ritual where everyone shares their biggest mistake of the week, celebrating the learning rather than dwelling in shame. Infancy shatters every illusion of control. Your schedule dissolves into round-the-clock feeding. Your career takes a backseat to diaper changes. Your competent adult identity crumbles under sleep deprivation. This isn't a problem to solve. It's an initiation into surrender, where success is measured in tiny moments, a smile, a successful latch, holding your sleeping baby. The toddler years teach boundaries within chaos. Toddlers swing between angelic sweetness and volcanic tantrums, discovering their separate selfhood by testing every limit. Your work is to provide steady, loving containment, saying no when necessary while honoring their drive for autonomy. Middle school might be the most spiritually demanding phase. Your child's body transforms faster than their psyche can integrate, leaving them groundless and insecure. They need you desperately but can't admit it, pushing you away while simultaneously seeking your presence. This stage demands you transition from leader to partner, staying available without taking control. By high school, you're witnessing the results of everything you've planted. Too controlling? Your teen may rebel wildly. Too permissive? They may lack internal structure. But even now, healing remains possible when you acknowledge mistakes, repair ruptures, and commit to showing up differently. Authentic connection happens in mundane moments. The school drive where you actually listen, the bedtime routine where you linger, the ordinary Tuesday when you give full attention. True presence means meeting your child's energy rather than demanding they adjust to yours. Notice when your daughter shares her day and you respond with distracted uh-huhs while scrolling. Catch yourself interrupting your son's answer with unsolicited advice, communicating, "I don't trust you," rather than, "I believe in you." Children need present parents, not perfect ones. When you say, "I'm sorry I yelled this morning, I was stressed about work and took it out on you, that wasn't fair," you teach emotional honesty more effectively than any lecture. Create space for stillness. Take car rides without music or devices. Share something appreciated at dinner. These ordinary rituals cultivate the capacity to be with oneself, the foundation of emotional health. The deepest paradox of conscious parenting. This relationship exists primarily for your transformation, not your child's development. Your children need you awake, present to your patterns, willing to face your wounds, committed to your growth. When you stop controlling outcomes and examine your own resistance, everything shifts. When you release attachment and trust their unfolding, you both become free. When you sit with uncomfortable emotions without fixing or escaping, you create authentic connection. This work requires confronting how you were parented, grieving what you didn't receive, and choosing to respond differently. It means catching yourself mid-reaction and choosing presence over pattern again and again, imperfectly, with compassion for your failures. But here's what makes it worth it. You don't just raise healthier children, you reclaim lost parts of yourself. You recover the spontaneity, creativity, and authenticity suppressed in your own childhood. Your children become your guides, offering a second chance at wholeness. So when your child triggers you, pause, breathe, ask, what is this moment revealing about me? What old wound is being pressed? Your child isn't your adversary or project. They're your greatest spiritual teacher, guiding you home to yourself.